Turn to page 216. 216, Dwelling in Beulah Land. Let's sing the first, second, and last. Far away the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth beset on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of earth in vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God! I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah Land. Far below the storm of doubt upon the world is beating. Sons of men in battle long the enemy withstand. Safe am I within the castle of God's word retreating. Reach me, 'tis Beulah Land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God! I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah Land. On the last, viewing here the works of God, I sink in contemplation. Hearing now His blessed voice, I see the way He planned. Dwelling in the Spirit here, I'd learn a full salvation. In Beulah Land, I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. Praise God! I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah Land.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for Beulah Land, huh? Amen. Well, it's good to see you here this morning. It's easy also to see that we've got vacation time already beginning. I'm mindful of several that were going to be out of town this weekend, some traveling for ministry as well. But I'm glad we're here. Glad we're here to worship the Lord together, pray for the Lord's presence in a very beautiful way, very powerful way, that He would speak to our hearts today. And we do have some visitors in our midst, and we're always thankful for you. And church family, let's take a couple of minutes, welcome each other, and be sure you welcome our visitors as well.
Thank you. Okay, as you make your way back to your seats, let's also turn to page 180. Do you know that God will take care of you? He is sovereign. Let's sing the first and last. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. On the last, no matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Good. You may be seated. Please stand with us once more. Let's turn to page 43. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. On the last, this is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
All right, you can be seated.
Men, please come up for the offering. Good morning, Metropolitan Baptist Church. Good to see you this morning, visitors. Good to have you. The announcements. We'll be having a fellowship this Friday at 7 p.m. in the gym. Bring your favorite snacks. We'll be playing basketball, something, I don't know, not sure yet. Snack night is that Sunday? This Sunday in the gym. Men's breakfast, Saturday the 28th at 9 a.m. Get with Pastor or Brother Allen for more information on that. Fifth Sunday, meal 7:29. Church will provide fried chicken. Please bring two sides and a dessert. The Fofowinos have a new letter in the back. Please stop by and pick one up. We still need door greeters, nursery workers, AM, and prayer warriors. Please pick up your two new inserts for your directories at the Welcome Center. Let's pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day and just another day here to worship, Lord. We pray that you prepare our hearts and our minds. Father, I pray that you be with our pastor as he preaches, Lord. And I pray, Lord, if there's any here today, Lord, that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that today they come to that knowledge.
Amen.
I pray for the offering, Lord, and just pray that you bless it. But more than anything, Lord, that you speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Well, I do a lot of singing, that's for sure. And
You got it? I write it a lot, probably about 70 of them. But anyway, Nineveh, here I come. The book of Jonah's not long at all, about a preacher man who got it caught. Don't be Nineveh, a city full of sin. He disobeyed God and boarded the ship. For Tarsus thought he gave God the slip. Things start getting worse now for him. God sent a mighty wind to the sea. The ship was tossed. Sailors made their pleas. Something must be done or death is near. Started throwing things overboard, praying to their gods for the calm restored. Things keep getting worse as they fear. Well, they found Jonah sleeping down below. He awakes and tells them all he knows and what they must do to keep themselves alive. They rowed harder, but to no avail. Plunged it overboard when all had failed. Jonah knew his end had arrived. The winds calmed down, the ship is gone. Jonah's by himself, but not for long. A great fish swallows him and swims to the deep. He's in his belly for 3 whole days. Has plenty of time to repent and pray. The fish then spits up Jonah unto the beach. God tells Jonah once again, go to Nineveh, that city of sin, and preach to them just what I tell you to say. Stinking but feeling fine, only has one thing on his mind. He takes a deep breath, can you imagine what he'd say? Nineveh, here I come. Lord, watch my short legs run. I received your message loud and clear, and now I'm a-leaving here. I prayed 3 days in the slime, but Lord, I had a whale of a time. Disobeying you was really dumb. I'm sorry. Nineveh, here I come. Lord, disobeying you was really dumb. Nineveh, here I come. Here I come. There you go.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Shirley was right. It was dumb to disobey God. Well, hopefully we'll have a whale of a time today here. Huh? You'll be turning, if you would, to Acts chapter 1. Once again, Acts chapter 1. We're looking at one of those messages. It's kind of fun to preach in some ways. Of course, it's very serious as well. Following Jesus' return to heaven. His return to heaven. So if you found your place in Acts chapter 1, please stand with me in reverence to God's word. We'll begin reading in verse 9. It says, and when he had spoken these things, and while they, that is the disciples, beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Father, we bow before you, thanking you for your word. Certainly thank you that for your teaching, your instruction, and Lord, pray that each and every one of us would have hearts to obey you. Indeed, that manifestation of our faith in you through obedience to you. And Lord, as this hour, as we look into this passage of Scripture, pray that you'd give the preacher understanding and illumination. Give him liberty of lip to be able to declare exactly what you want these dear folks to hear today. Thank you for each one, everyone present within the walls of this auditorium. And I pray that we'd have ears to hear, Lord, whether it be to hear the gospel message, if need be, that folks might be saved. Might we have ears to hear that challenge to our hearts and lives, but also might we have ears to hear this tremendous encouragement concerning your return. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. This is a fascinating passage. I always enjoy just reading it, let alone studying it this week. It deals with the Lord's return, or what we would often call his ascension back to heaven. I don't know, maybe simple folk like me just might call it his going home, his returning home. Regardless, there's a good bit for us to take note of in this passage. Certainly being mindful of this glorious return, but also there's a prophecy given to us here concerning his return. The disciples as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ have their last glimpse of the Savior. As it says in verse 9, he was taken up. Or as it says in verse 10, he went up. And we'll look at some others. But Luke also records the promise given to disciples by these two mysterious men that show up on the scene. These prophetic words excite followers of the Lord Jesus Christ in every age, or should at least excite believers no matter when we have lived in God's timetable. As Jesus is returning to heaven, they are promised, the disciples, as we looked at them last week, they are promised that he is coming again. Hallelujah. As 21st century followers of Jesus, we too, beloved, are anticipating his return to this earth planet. The Apostle John's closing words in the Revelation speak to this very thing as well. Certainly, as we read them, it seems evident and obvious that John is anticipating the Lord's return. What does he say in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20? Even so come, Lord Jesus. After all that the Lord gave him there in that tremendous revelation, his summation is, even so come, Lord Jesus. Well, we look first this morning at how the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, is received into heaven. Received into heaven there in verse 9, it says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Wow, quite a scene, isn't it? And considering this scene, doesn't it stir your heart? I mean, as you read those words, could you imagine the scene? When we were in Israel a few years ago, I don't forget, 3 or 4 years ago now, I guess it was, and it's something to stand there on the Mount of Olives. I mean, it's 2,000 years later, but you stand there on the Mount of Olives and you look across the valley, the Kidron Valley, over the city of Jerusalem, what's going on in your mind? You're there. You're at the place where he rose, he ascended back to glory. You're at the place, as we'll see later in the message, where he is going to return to. Huh? Your heart is rehearsing those words of John. Even so, come. Huh? If you love him, you will love his appearing, will you not? Well, the master's received into heaven. Listen to how Luke records this in his gospel. Of course, he writes here in the book of Acts, but he also speaks to this, writes to this in his gospel. And it says in Luke 24, verses 50 and 51, it says, he led them, speaking of the disciples, out as far as to Bethany. When he lifted up his hands and blessed them, it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them. Isn't that the way the Holy Spirit puts that through Luke? He's parted, or the idea is he's separated from them and carried up into heaven. Carried up into heaven. Now, be mindful of this. Be mindful of this. The Lord Jesus Christ arrived to earth miraculously, did he not? He had a supernatural conception. Now, we understand that his birth, and it, for the most part, was carried out kind of insignificantly, was it not, in a stable. After his 33-year walk on the earth, he returns to glory miraculously, as we read here. And at this time, with just his closest followers, his closest friends, are there to witness this. Isn't that interesting? Huh? Not a whole lot of fanfare there at the stable. Now, we'll speak a little bit more of that in a moment. And not a whole lot of fanfare, humanly speaking, here. There wasn't a great multitude or a huge crowd to witness him. Just the disciples. But be mindful of this. His conception was announced by an angel to Mary and Joseph, was he not? His birth was heralded by a host of angels to the shepherds out there in the fields at night. Angels ministered to the Lord Jesus Christ following his temptation there in the wilderness. Wow. Angels were there at the tomb to announce his resurrection. And there, and here I should say, we see that his return to heaven is predicted by angels, or were there present to accompany his return to heaven. And not surprisingly whatsoever, at his glorious return, there'll be a host of angels accompany him. Angels, beloved. Angels were very much a part of Christ's ministry, past, present at that time, and future. Amen. Amen. Well, we see Jesus' last words to his disciples. It says in verse 9, when he had spoken these things. When he had spoken these things, his very last words to the disciples. Well, put yourself in the scene. I like to do that. Put myself in the scene. The disciples are focused on Jesus and what he is saying to them, right? Just what he said in verse 8. As they wait on what the Lord possibly would say to them next, he leaves. He literally leaves as soon as he's finished speaking those things. We'll look at that in a moment. He's taken up from them. They can't, and I'm sure if I was there, you were there, they can't take their eyes off him. They can't look away. They can't take their eyes away from what they were witnessing.
Now notice, there's five words in these three verses that speak of what they were seeing. Look at those verses again. In verse 9, it says, while they beheld. And then it says at the end of that verse, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Verse 10, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven. In verse 11, the angels say, ye men of Galilee, why ye stand gazing up into heaven? In the end of the verse, in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. They were riveted by what was taking place. They were watching. And again, as Jesus has just spoken to them what he said there in verse 8, they had no indication that he didn't have something more to say to them. And rather, he ascends from this earth planet. And we see Jesus' heavenly reception. His heavenly reception. It says a cloud received him out of their sight. I mean, again, just imagine it. I don't know what it was like. We don't have any clue. But as the Lord Jesus Christ's feet lift off this earth planet, and he's rising up into the heavens, it's as if this cloud just receives him. Just receives him. Now, the other times during this 40-day period from the resurrection to this moment, the other appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ where he wouldn't be there and then he would be there. Spend that time with them in some sort of fellowship. Give them some instruction. Remember the fish fry by the Sea of Galilee. And then he would be gone again. He would come and be gone. But this time is different. This is different. This time it was important that his disciples, his followers, know that he was returning to his place in heaven. His place at the Father's right hand. Now again, as we just said, he rises from the earth, and as he ascends up, this cloud just envelops him, and he's removed from their sight. They see him no more. Now, as we read, it's not hard to conjecture, if you'll have that they continue to stand there watching. Would you do different? I don't think I would. They continue to stand there watching as if maybe they're anticipating that they might get one last glimpse. Maybe the cloud will just disappear. They have one last glimpse of him as he ascends. Wow. Well, we see as this is going on. As this is going on, there's these men visiting from heaven. There's two men show up, visitors from heaven, as we read in verses 10 and 11. Just reading verse 10. It says, and while they, the disciples, looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now again, their eyes are where? Man, they're riveted on heaven. They're riveted on the sky. They're not paying attention to what's going on around them. And so while they're watching, these two men show up. They appear there and unnoticed by them, their arrival to the scene. Well, get the picture. Jesus is, how do you say it? Jesus is literally just going up. The disciples are watching, and these two men are just simply there. They're simply there. Now, even though we're not told in the passage that these men are angels, it's pretty obvious that that's who they are. At the tomb, be mindful, at the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of his resurrection, we have kind of similar description of an angel. It says there in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 16, the 4th and 5th verse, it says, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw, now listen, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. In both cases, we find there's an angelic visitor. Now, also, in both cases, these are angels, and they've come with a message. As a side note, and I pray about this, prayerful about this, but as a side note, now, I want to make clear I'm not being sexist or any such thing. But in spite of Hollywood and what Hollywood might want to depict for us, there is no record recorded, or there's no recorded occurrence of an angel appearing as a woman. Again, not trying to be nasty, not trying to, well, you're just a chauvinist. Well, so be it. I'm just trying to be biblical. Heaven forbid, we shouldn't even bother expecting Hollywood to be biblical, folks. There's no recorded occurrence of an angel appearing as a woman. Every appearance of an angel in the Bible is always in a male form. Now, we gotta say something else about that. Remember, though, angels do not procreate. Angels don't have baby angels. There's no such thing. All the angels, fallen and holy, were created beings. Also, in spite of human imagination, you won't become an angel when you get to heaven. How would I say? You'll be no more an angel then than you are now. Sorry. How can you say that? Well, listen to what Matthew 22 said. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 22 and verse 30. When the bell rings, someone receives. No, that's not what it says. Jesus says in Matthew 22, verse 30, he says, "For in the resurrection, they neither marry, neither are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." Now we see here in that passage two groups spoken of. The resurrected, who's that? Those are the resurrected are us. Those that are the redeemed that will be resurrected at that last day. And the second group are the angels of God. Now what was the issue? Well, there was those there questioning the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to trip him up in his words, and they give him this long story about this lady that was married and her husband died and her brother took her to wife all the way down through the long. Whose wife will she be in heaven? The Lord explains to them that you got it all wrong. You misunderstand. In heaven, there's not going to be marriage or any such thing, nor the given in marriage. But that will be what? Like the angels. The angels don't marry. They don't procreate. So again, what's the key word? Be like. We won't be angels. We'll be like the angels in that fact. Now again, that was just a little side note. You can put that in your pocket for later. We see this prophecy given by these two men, these two angels, in verse 11. I love it. In verse 11, it says, speaking of these two, it says, "Which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Wow. So these two angels come on the scene with a message. They have a message for the disciples. They're going to explain some things to these followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, it seems like they're saying, this is no time to be gazing into heaven. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Were they aware of what was taking place? Well, of course they were. They knew what was going on. Jesus is his return to glory. Why are you still standing here gazing up into heaven? And I don't want to put words into the mouth of these angels, surely. But can I suggest that they were essentially saying, why are you standing here staring at the sky? Jesus has returned to heaven. You have received your marching orders, had they not? They had their instructions. You don't need to be standing here any longer. Your master has returned to heaven. Now it's time to get busy. Well, what was his instruction? Those words of Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. What did it say? But ye shall be witnesses. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. And of course, their ministry, their reach of witness was to be both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. If they had any question concerning what was next, Jesus had already told them. He'd already explained to them what was next. When they received, in just a few days, when they received the Holy Spirit of God, they were to get busy. And they did. And they did. They were to be witnesses unto Jesus. Well, we see as well here that these angels tell them that Jesus will return from heaven. They've watched him leave. You don't need to be watching anymore. You don't need to be staring up the sky. He's coming back. He will return. Jesus will return from heaven. Now, we've got to deal with this prophecy. You say, why? Well, because I'm doing the preaching. We've got to deal with this prophecy. The angels are speaking to what is going to happen. Do you hear me? These angels are speaking to the disciples of what, not what might happen, not what could happen in the future. They are telling the disciples what is going to take place in the future. Jesus is coming back. Jesus Christ is coming back. He is going to return to this world. Hallelujah. We won't have to worry about any more summits. What's going to happen at this meeting or that summit or this conference? No, Jesus is coming back and he will be in charge. Hallelujah. Look at this. And as we break this down, we see some things. Number one, this very same Jesus is returning. Not some other Jesus. Not just a spirit. It says this same Jesus is returning. Hallelujah. The Word of God affirms this for us. Now, the Lord Jesus said in John 14, verse 3, very familiar words, aren't they? John 14, verse 3, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Then what's it say? And if I go and prepare a place for you, what did it say? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Is there any question as far as Jesus' words, whether he's going to come back or not? No. Not in my mind. And we could look at many passages. We'll look at just one from the pen of the Apostle Paul, where he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, for the Lord himself, who? The Lord himself. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Who's going to return? The Lord Himself. This same Jesus, the angel said, the Lord Himself, Jesus Christ, is coming again. He shall return. This very same Jesus, or the very same Jesus that walked this earth planet 2,000 years ago, is coming again. Oh, yes, in His glorified form, but is indeed the same Jesus. So the very same Jesus is returning, but then we also see that this Jesus, the one that will return, is where? He is now in heaven. This Jesus the angels are speaking of is now in heaven. What's it say? Which is taken up from you into heaven. Into heaven. Where's Jesus right now? In heaven. Just so we understand. Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, Paul there writes in verses 1 to 3. Now listen, it says God. Well, that's a good place to start any place, isn't it? It says, God, who at sundry time and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. We've got the writings of the Old Testament that God was pleased to give us through those various prophets. But he goes on to say in verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. Boy, the whole thing's building, isn't it? When He had by Himself purged our sins. When He had finished that work of His sacrifice for our sins, it goes on to say, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty, where? On high, in heaven. Where's Jesus? He's in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 8, in verse 1, it says this, Now of all things which we have spoken, this is the sum. If we put it all together, we have such an high priest, speaking of Jesus, we have such an high priest who is set at the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in the heavens. This same Jesus that shall return is right now in heaven at the right hand of His Father. But we also see that this same Jesus, which is in heaven, is coming again. This Jesus is coming again. Oh my. So I was looking at this. It wasn't hard to find scriptures to support what we find here in the book of Acts. There's a lot of proof texts. The hard part is deciding which ones you want to use. In Matthew 25 in verse 31, it says this. It says, When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Hold on to that statement there. He'll sit upon the throne of His glory. Paul speaks to this as well in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, listen to what it says. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise. Who? The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with that shout. Wow. And then fourthly, this Jesus, the same Jesus, this Jesus that has returned to heaven, this Jesus that is coming again, these angels go on to add this. This Jesus will come again as you saw Him laying. What's it say? In like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. Well, They're there on the Mount of Olives. They're there witnessing him ascend out of their sight into the heavens. Well, does the Bible say anything about that anywhere else? Well, I'm glad you asked. In the prophet Zechariah in chapter 4, verse 14, says this. Fourth verse, Zechariah 14. You ready? It says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon," where? "The Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south." You see, outside of the city of Jerusalem, and as you are on that side to the east, there's the Kidron Valley, and it goes up, and there's the Mount of Olives, and there's Mount Moriah. There's these hills right there. The Mount of Olives, I believe, is the highest of them, and it overlooks the city. It's an amazing sight. It's a thrilling sight. It makes your heart pound as you stand there. And we read here from the prophet Zechariah, what? That in that day, Jesus will return to the Mount of Olives. He will come to the Mount of Olives. Now again, prophecy experts are trying to do their best to fit in just in that timetable how this fits. But we read a few verses later, in Zechariah 14 and verse 9, these words, and this is good enough for me. Zechariah 14, 9 says, "In the Lord," and it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Amen. "The Lord God Jehovah." Amen. "The Lord shall be king over all the earth." Huh? Gives me shivers. "The Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one." What's Zechariah saying? There's coming a day. Now Zechariah, he hadn't even seen the first coming. But God was pleased to give him a picture of that second coming, of his return. Huh? There's coming a day that the God, the Lord God Jehovah, is returning from his place in heaven. And he's going to make everything. He'll settle it all. Can you imagine that day? As he puts his feet down on the Mount of Olives, and as his feet land, the entire mountain cracks and opens up. What's the significance? My simple little brain just wants to see this as, hey, God has returned. And it isn't in the meekness of a stable. Huh? It isn't in the obscurity of Bethlehem. This time, it's to the very Mount of Olives that oversees his city, his royal city, that place where he will be seated as king, one king, over all this earth planet. Even so, come. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Well, what do you believe? So why would you say that, preacher? Well, if you ask that, it depends on where you are when you ask that question, does it not? Hopefully here at Metropolitan Baptist Church on a Sunday morning, we all say, well, we believe the Bible. We can't wait. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Right? Am I the only one? Huh? I think this is it's okay to get a little excited about this. Huh? But if I asked this last night down at one of the honky-tonks in Fort Worth, what kind of answer would I get? What do you believe? If we asked it over at the university, what kind of answer would we get? What do you believe about all this? I think it's a fair question. Because there will be an accounting to this very question, is there not? Paul wrote to this. It's amazing how much information about the second coming there is in Paul's letters to the Thessalonian church. He said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 7 to 9. He says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us." Those that are agitated, troubled, concerned, rest. "When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction in the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Wow, that's tough to take peace from that, to take rest from that, is it not? Huh? Do you know any lost folks? Do we have loved ones that are yet without Christ? The day is coming. Jesus is coming again. And there will be an answer to that question. What do you believe? What did Paul say? That obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, those who do not believe. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ excites us, should excite us if we're saved. It should excite every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we've just read here, Thessalonians, which is every bit true as well, as we've just read, if you're not saved at that time, Jesus' return for you is devastating. It's devastating. The possibility of that being the destiny of anyone in this room today breaks my heart. And it doesn't have to be. It does not have to be. The Lord Jesus Christ said this in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him," those that obey the gospel, "but as many as received him, to them that believe on his name," or excuse me, I quoted it wrong, "but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." We quote John 3:16 so often, so much. We don't often quote the very verse right before it, John chapter 3 and verse 15. There, Jesus speaking of himself, it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. No one need perish. Whoever would not reject the gospel, would not turn away from the gospel, but obey and believe, shall be saved. You know, I don't know in this room today who's saved, who's not saved.
I know for me. I know what God did in my heart and life so many years ago. Has Jesus saved you? Do you know where you will spend eternity? Dear one, dear friend, please, please, I beg you, don't leave this room. But as many as what? Received them, received Him. To them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Let's stand together. Father, we bow before You. And the return of Your Son, it does excite us as believers. We look forward to that day when He will return to this earth planet. We look forward to that day when He will make all things right and turn this crazy, topsy-turvy world right side up, to take away the chaos and the confusion and settle all things in and of Himself. That when He will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, Father, today I pray that even as all that excites us, might we also grasp the significance, the consequences for all those who would be without Christ at that moment. Lord, oh my Lord, please, please deal with hearts this day. Please, Lord, if there's anyone in this room that has any question, any doubt whatsoever, might they right now at this moment receive Christ as their Savior. Believe on Him as that one that can cleanse them from all their sin. And indeed, that they might become the children of God. Well, please deal with hearts. Deal with my heart today, Father. That I'd have a new passion, a new compassion for souls. Oh, yes. Our eyes indeed are on that eastern sky. For that moment, that time when the trump will sound and You will return. Oh, Father, please, might we be busy at this work for Your glory, for Your honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brother John.
Page 163.
Amen, folks. As we sing, please obey the Lord. Obey Him. Don't wait for me to convince you to do this or do that. Obey the Lord. These altars are open for prayer, for whatever the need might be. And if you're here today and there's any question whatsoever of your salvation, your walk with Christ, please come. Do our very best to point you to Jesus. That you could leave this place a brand new creature in Christ. Old things passed away, all things become new. As we sing, obey the Lord.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Aren't you thankful you're saved? Amen. Aren't you thankful that you can have that anticipation?
of that day, dreadful in so many ways because of sin, but wonderful because of the blood of Calvary. Wonderful because of the prospect of eternity with our Savior. Amen. Is it? Do we believe?
Amen.
Absolutely. We believe Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Amen. Brother John.
Let's sing our chorus at Calvary, page 57, if you need your book.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not it was for me, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.